Certainly in Titus chapter 2, we're reading the first two verses, Titus chapter 2. We're working our way through the book of Titus, and I want you to notice the word sound that appears in both verses. It's an important word. It's the opposite of disease, unhealthy. Sound, healthy. We've heard this word sound before. It was in the first chapter. Titus chapter 2, the first two verses. This is the word of God. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged man be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. The precious word of the living and the true God. It's obvious as we looked at the end of chapter 1 that Titus is in a situation where there are false teachers, these anti-elders that we call them, people that are opposing the faith of Jesus Christ. They're worming their way into households and they're leading people astray. They're holding on to Jewish fables and the commandments of men. But the way that they are to be dealt with, we already saw in the qualifications for an elder that were seen earlier in chapter 1, in verse 9, holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayer. There's that language again, sound doctrine. What is sound doctrine? Well, doctrine means teaching. But we know that there's unhealthy teaching, because we've just been learning about it at the end of chapter 1. And there is also the teaching which is healthy, the teaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what's sound. That's what's healthy. It's the same kind of language that is used, by the way, of when the Lord Jesus heals someone in the gospels, like in Luke 5:31. When he heals them, they're healthy. Previous to that, they were maimed or diseased. And Jesus heals them and they become well or whole. That's the kind of word that's used here. The word for sound is a word that has to do with health and wellness, that which is whole. The gospel is designed to make you whole as a people of God. And then the book of Titus actually unpacks this by showing us different age groups. Aged men, aged women, young men. And shows us how the gospel is worked out in the lives of people. Because when we hear the word doctrine, the first thing that pops into our mind is, well, just, I need to understand it. I need to understand it. It's teaching. I need to download it. It's, my synapses are working on it. I've got it up here. But that's not the way the Word of God views doctrine. Titus is actually exhorted in verse 1 to speak the things which become sound doctrine, which are fitting. Or sound doctrine. And the word speak there is a word that has to do even with informal speech. In other words, Titus is to be, even in his informal speech, contrasting the false teachers, contrasting those who worm their way into households, who hold on to things that are untrue, and try to persuade others, even in casual conversation. But what does that look like? Well, we get a picture as we look at verse 2, what it looks like when people age, when they grow older, when they are older men who have been walking with the Lord Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul told Timothy that he was to watch his life and his doctrine closely. They are related, you see. Our life and our doctrine, our conduct and what we believe. The gospel changes the way that we interact with other people. And that's what these verses are about. That's what Titus 2 is about. The connection between what we say, what we believe concerning the gospel of Jesus Christ, and the way that it changes our character over time. And so as you look at someone who has been growing in the Lord Jesus Christ, if they're an older man who has been growing up in the Church of Jesus Christ, they ought to look something like what it says in verse 2. And so that's why we need these verses, because it helps us to see how the gospel changes people in the community of believers. And that is the is the basic point here. The word sound is the word from which we get the word hygiene. What's good hygiene? It's what is actually protecting your skin, protects your teeth. If you practice good hygiene, it's going to protect you and help you to have healthy teeth and healthy skin over time if you practice good hygiene. It's the same thing with the gospel of Jesus Christ spiritually. Sound doctrine is to be lived out. It is not just to be held onto as something that you believe just simply intellectually. We can find that out if we look at the beginning of 1 Timothy, where it talks about, in 1 Timothy 1, people who desire to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor whereof they affirm. So they want to be teachers of the law, but they don't understand what they're saying, and they don't understand what they should hold to, and it affects their behavior. But we know that the law is good if a man uses it lawfully, knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men-stealers, for liars, for perjured person, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine. You know what that passage is saying? That the law of God is designed to make healthy people from all those categories. That's the amazing thing about the gospel of Jesus Christ. It changes lives. It makes people whole. It makes people whole spiritually. That's why we're to watch our life and our doctrine closely. Because you can say something in the context of being an elder or maybe a pastor, or in the context of being an older Christian coming alongside a younger Christian, you can say something to someone, but then you can contradict it with those little flippant words that come out of your mouth. That's why we need to grow in both of these areas, in our understanding of sound teaching, that which makes us healthy, and in the way that we live it out. That's why Titus is being told to, even in his casual speech, his casual conversation, to speak the things that become sound doctrine, things that adorn or beautify and expose the beauty of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Well, I can tell that person has been changed by the gospel. That's the way Titus is to be on the island of Crete. And that's the way we're being told that we are to grow as Christians. That's why this chapter unpacks different age groups and male and female and shows us what the gospel looks like as it plays out in our lives. That is what health looks like. And so those types of believers are going to stand out in Crete as they grow in their Christian character. They're going to look different than the rest of the population. The Cretans that we saw before were famous for being liars, evil beasts, and slow bellies. Christians, changed by the gospel of Jesus Christ, look different. And they stand out. And that's why Titus is starting in chapter 2 with the word but, in contrast to those false teachers, those anti-elders. This is how you are to grow. The gospel of Jesus Christ is going to be displayed in all its manifold richness in chapter 2. Older men, older women, younger men, younger women, pastors, slaves, the grace of God has appeared bringing salvation. All classes of people are changed by the life of Jesus Christ, united to that. Gender, age, race, and social class are factors that make people different, but the impact of the gospel in all of these areas sweetens the differences and helps people to be manifold witnesses of the grace of God in Jesus Christ. When a younger woman begins to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, she looks different than an older man does who grows in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, but it displays Jesus Christ in a manifestly beautiful way. And that is why the book of Titus is in the Bible. And we might see that. We might see how it works. On the contrary, on the opposite side, the sins of older men are different than the sins of younger women in some respects. But the gospel transforms them both. If false teaching spreads disease, then sound teaching addresses the condition and gives you the means to be healed by the grace of God. Titus must explain how Christ changes older men, older women, younger men and younger women, ministers and slaves, in all of the areas where they display symptoms of the disease of sin. They are to display the wholeness that comes from the gospel of Jesus Christ playing out in our lives. That's what the sanctification of God by means of the Holy Spirit is designed to do. To make us look more and more like Jesus Christ in more and more areas. Well, I believe I look like Jesus Christ in terms of my wisdom. I have great wisdom. But do you have love? Well, I have great love. But do you practice wisdom? Do you follow the principles of wisdom? Do you speak truth? You see, in all of the ways in which we are to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, the body of Christ is designed to fill it out and to show what it looks like. This is part of the goal of the teaching of sound doctrine. This is why it's a very exciting time in the Church of Jesus Christ. Because Jesus Christ heals more than just bodies. He heals moral lives, the Lord Jesus Christ. He builds character in people from all walks of life. And he does so through the teaching of sound doctrine. It means that the saving grace of God in Christ is powerfully changing people at Knox on many different levels at the same time. God is working throughout the people that are sitting here this evening. And even in the man who's standing here. This morning, I had a little trouble seeing the page again. Like I did that one time in December a little while back. And there was a shimmering light in front of my face. But I knew something about my situation. I knew that I had been to the eye doctor. I knew that they had put me through a scan. I knew that they had checked me out, and I knew what I was dealing with. So I was able to look around the shimmering light and make it work. Because I had been shown something over time. That's what it's like for us spiritually. The Lord diagnoses our condition. He shows us our situation. And he shows us how to live in light of the grace of Jesus Christ. In light of the way that the Lord Jesus Christ is transforming our life. You can't go back to 10 years from before. You can't go back to last week. You can't unsay the words that you said to someone. But you can grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ in the direction that this chapter is pointing. And in that way, you become different than the false teachers. Because verse 16 of chapter 1 said, they profess that they know God, but in works they deny him. But that's not you. That's not how you grow. That's not how chapter 2 starts. It starts by showing you consistency in doctrine and life, consistency in how people grow. That's what the gospel does. And the gospel is, first of all, in this second verse, applied to aged men. Aged men, men as they get older. Now, our society does not actually have a very positive view of aged men. They're made fun of in TV shows. They're not actually held up as paragons of virtue. But it's not like that in the Church of Jesus Christ. We're not talking about elders. We're talking about people that are growing older who know the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a different word than the word for elder. Paul calls himself an old man in Philemon 9. And so does Zacharias in Luke 1:18. It's probably someone who's older than 40, closer to 50, or even into one's 60s, if you can imagine that, living that long. But the people in this chapter are divided into groups, older men, older women, young men, younger women. So this primarily has someone in view that's older than others in the church, and it's male. Someone that is an older man, you can understand. You know what that looks like. They have gray beards. Maybe their eyes don't work right or something like that. They're older. But what is an older man supposed to be like when they walk with the Lord Jesus Christ? What does health look like for someone who's older? What does it look like when you begin to grow in all the ways in which the gospel is to change you? Well, as the body grows, we have elders that emerge. The qualifications were given in chapter 1. But there's another kind of growth that takes place just simply as people grow older with the Lord Jesus Christ. Not necessarily having to serve as an elder, but to be iron sharpening iron, to be those who actually grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. And this is what it looks like. Being sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, and patience. That's what the Word of God would say. That's what God would say in His Word. They're to be sober. In other words, they are to be thinking clearly and living carefully. When someone is not sober, they're living foolishly. They're being less than careful. They're being careless. But someone who is older in the Lord Jesus Christ is to grow in the direction of living and thinking carefully. That's what it means to be sober. Literally not a drunkard, but it's a broader sense of the word. It has to do with being sober-minded. We see this in places like 1 Timothy 3:2, and even deacons' wives are to be sober-minded. It means being sober in your judgment, too. Being careful about the way that you form your judgments. And this is true of people as they grow older in Christ. Not simply of those who are elders, but it is the pattern for people to grow in order to be healthy in the Church of Jesus Christ. Grave. What does that mean? Sounds serious. It means to be dignified. It means someone who's not quick with a flippant, off-color joke. Who's not doing stuff that makes young women in the church uncomfortable. Just for the sake of it. Just for a laugh. Grave. Someone who actually understands what it means to carry yourself in as if you are someone that people are looking at. Because that's actually the way it should be. Rather than picking on older people and looking at their faults, we ought to be looking for the ways in which they are healthy and growing in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. And being brave is one of them. Being worthy of respect, being serious. That's part of growing in the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Timothy chapter 2, the Word of God says this. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Why do we pray for people who are in positions of authority? So that we might grow in health. So we might grow in godliness and honesty, a peaceful life, quiet and peaceful. Someone who is actually able to concentrate on the things that are important in life, the things that matter. If I spend 5 years working my fingers to the bone to put money in a bank account, but there are people around me who don't know Jesus Christ, and nothing in my life is helping them. And that's not the right attitude to have. That's not the right orientation of life. So to be sober is to be clear-minded about such things, and to be grave is to be someone who is dignified and able to actually live in a way that's consistent with it. The next word is temperate. It's a word that deals with a principle that's here again and again and again. It appears throughout this section. It has to do with being self-controlled. And that's an important thing. Restraint in proper things. The opposite of what a foolish person does. Because the world, you see, their whole goal is to just go crazy. To just go nuts. To just let it go. Carefree. But if people need to know the Lord Jesus Christ in order to be in fellowship with God for eternity. If the way that I control myself makes a difference in the way that I witness to other people about the grace of God in my life, if they see the Holy Spirit through self-control, then that's the approach that I have to take. I have a desire to grow in these ways. Sober, grave, self-controlled. And then the next word, sound, applies to all three of the following words. Sound, meaning healthy. Sound in faith, in charity, in patience. Sound in faith. That's our relationship to God. You have to have faith to be related to God through Jesus Christ. You have to trust Him. And when you see someone who is trusting the Lord Jesus Christ in a healthy way, it's attractive. It's attractive to younger people in the Church of Jesus Christ. They want to be like that. They want that to be the way that they relate to God. Sound in the faith. It's how you relate to God. But then there's the next thing, how you relate to your neighbor. Charity. It's the old word. Charity. Well, I'm not a charity case. It's about love. It's the word for love. It's the old-fashioned word for love, which is actually probably good because the word love is being misused in our culture. We need the word charity. It's the love that comes from God. It's the love that enables you to love someone and persevere in that love, to love them because you care about what's best for them. You'll speak the truth to them. You'll stick with them even when they mess up. You'll show them the way because you love them. You'll give them what's necessary, not to make yourself feel better, but what's necessary for them to grow. That's what love looks like. And older men in the Church of Jesus Christ are to look like this. Related to God by faith, a healthy faith that enables them to truly trust God, and relating to other people through love. Imagine that. Someone who's an older man in the Church of Jesus Christ who loves you. Not who wants to treat you as someone who they can make fun of, but someone who loves you. In the Church of Jesus Christ, that's what it looks like. To have a healthy, growing relationship with Jesus Christ as you grow older. And then the last word, patience, has to do with trials. We need patience in trials. The word patience appears in the book of James. It has to do with persevering under trials. Job was patient. Job began to question God. God straightened him out. But Job exercised patience for a long time. And the Lord Jesus Christ demonstrated patience. In the midst of adversity, as his disciples were falling asleep, he continued to pray. He continued to exhort his disciples to stay awake. And when they didn't, he said, it's time to go. Patience in trial. There's only one place you can turn to have that kind of character played out in your life in the midst of trials. And it's actually the way that we need to look for all of this growth, the way that all of this growth happens, the way that it's healthy and manifests itself over the years in increasing ways. What does it look like to have all these qualities? Where does that come from? Well, the book of Hebrews breaks it down, makes it extremely clear. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. You know what that verse is saying? The pattern of the life of Jesus Christ, from enduring the cross in light of the joy that was set before him, to sitting down at the right hand of the throne of God. That whole pattern is what is being impressed upon you as you grow older in Christ. As you encounter trials, you look to Jesus. And he is the author and the finisher of your faith. He's the beginning and the end. He's the one who enables you to have faith in the first place. And he's the one who completes that faith all the way to the end. Your faith isn't as strong and as confident and as secure as it will be when Christ continues to build your faith. Your love for your neighbor in the Church of Jesus Christ is not what it's going to be next year, but it will grow. Your patience in trials is not what it will be. And you know the old saying, how do I get patience? You get put through trials. They teach you patience. But guess what? All of that patience is found in Jesus Christ. It's not something that you try to pull up from inside of yourself or read about in a book. It's given to you in union with Jesus Christ. Everything that you need to be healthy in the Church of Jesus Christ is given to you from Jesus Christ himself. That's how people grow. That's how the Church of Jesus Christ gets healthy. It's joined to Christ. And any way in which your life begins to reflect someone who is joined to Jesus Christ and begins to grow in that way is a healthy way to grow. And it looks like what we've just been focusing on tonight. So ask these things. Of those that you are seeking to learn from in the Church of Jesus Christ, and pray for them to grow in these ways. Pray for them that they might actually display these qualities. Sober. Understanding clearly the impact of the gospel of Jesus Christ on the way that I think and the way that I speak. That even my casual conversation would adorn or fit sound doctrine. Be consistent with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Grieve, dignified, not off color and embarrassing, but grave and dignified, temperate, self-controlled in the way that we live our lives, and growing in our relationship to God and our relationship to others through charity, through love, and patient in trials, because I am joined to Jesus Christ. You know what? Jesus is able to make people look like this. If in 1 Timothy 1, we're saying that the law is made for lawless and disobedient people, people who are going to correspond with sound doctrine, this is what they are going to look like as they grow healthy. We need to have positive, beautiful examples of the grace of God in Jesus Christ. And guess what? He's given us an entire community of believers full of them. All of us can grow in all of these areas that are given to us here, but especially in the ones that correspond to our age group. But you have patience. You're 16 years old. That's great. I'm glad you have patience. But the patience of a 16-year-old is not the same as the patience of a 73-year-old.
Well, I've seen this. Jesus will get me through.
Isn't it beautiful to be around someone like that?